Sundays, we have seen how that Canaan pictures the victorious Christian life. We looked at that throughout Joshua chapter number 1. We learned that first God gave a challenge to Joshua. Talked about that 2 weeks ago. Then last week we talked about how Joshua then gave a challenge to the people. Now they still have yet to cross over, and yet Joshua now is going to send 2 spies. We learned that in the beginning of this chapter, that Joshua is going to send 2 spies into the land. We see that in verse number 1. Now a little bit about Jericho. Some of you may know this already. Maybe you've read about it. But archaeologists tell us about Jericho these things. They tell us that the city was about 8 acres in size. They tell us that it had an inner wall and it had an outer wall that surrounded the city. It also tells us that the inner wall of the city, think about this, was 12 feet thick. 12 feet thick. The outer wall was approximately 6 feet thick. And we've even learned from our reading today in verse 15 that there were houses on the wall. So this isn't a wall like you have in your house when you think of a wall. This is a wall the width of your house and even bigger than that, quite possibly. And so this is the great city of Jericho. They were approximately 30 feet in height, and excavations show that these walls at some point were violently destroyed. Now we know when that happened. We haven't read about it yet in our Bible here, but we're coming to that in God's time. Isn't it amazing that even archaeology catches up with the Bible? That was funny, but you didn't get it. That's okay. Science catches up with the Bible even as well. But anyway, interesting about this particular text that we're reading today, that of all the people that lived in Jericho, I don't know how many people lived in Jericho. Have no idea. But of all the people that lived in Jericho, guess what? We only know one name. And her name has been listed in the New Testament as well. The name of Rahab. I don't know what you think of when you think of Rahab, but with God's help, I'd like to speak to you on this theme, Rahab's redemption. Rahab's redemption. Hold your place in Joshua chapter 2. Turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to go back to right back to there in Joshua, but in Hebrews chapter number 11, we read something about Rahab once again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. By faith. Of course, we know Hebrews 11 to be, it's coined different things. Maybe you coin it one thing or give it the name. Some have said it's the hall of faith. The hall of faith. Isn't it amazing that this lady, prior to coming to Christ, did not have a very reputable job, and yet God puts her name not only in the Old Testament, but He puts her name in the New Testament, and He doesn't just put her name in the New Testament, He puts her name right there in the middle of all of the heroes of the faith that we have. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that, can you tell me those next two words? Believed not. You know, that's something very important for us to concentrate on here by way of introduction. The reason why Rahab did not perish in the destruction of Jericho, which we're not even going to get to that really today, but the reason that Rahab did not perish in the destruction of Jericho is because she believed. We read it just a few moments ago. She believed in the one true God, the God of the Bible. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. Isn't that interesting? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, going to heaven is not something that you or I can perform any good deed. Going to heaven is not something that you or I, we have to have a certain background only to get into heaven. Only certain people are allowed into heaven. Folks, the Bible says very clearly that a harlot named Rahab was not destroyed. She did not perish in Jericho because she believed. And I'll submit to you today in 2020, that is the only way that you're not going to perish in hell is if you believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I can guarantee you few things, but one I can guarantee you, if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary and accept Him as your Savior, you will perish. Right. You will perish for all eternity. And there is no get out of hell free card. Once you're there, you're there. And the only time I can see that you'll be out of there for a few moments is when you come and stand before God at the great white throne judgment. That's the only place I see maybe that you'll get out of there for a moment, but then right back to the lake of fire for all eternity. And it's so simple, but it's yet so complicated because pride gets in the way of us many times. I'm not maybe speaking to you. I know I've been saved, praise God for that, not by my own works. I'm just saying, Rahab was a harlot. Rahab doesn't have a pedigree of religiosity, if you will. She's living in a pagan land. And yet we see the Bible speaks of her that she perished not with them that believed not. So those that believed not, what happened? They perished. It hasn't changed, folks. You know, the Bible says, God says about Himself, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. The Bible says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, as I quoted it a moment ago, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Rahab's redemption, the introduction of Rahab's redemption is just the same place that your redemption started when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were saved. Do you have that testimony? Do you have that moment in time? Well, the spies arrived in Jericho, as we read a moment ago, and they entered a harlot's house. Now, I believe in reading this carefully once again. Let's read the Bible carefully. I believe God had already done a work in Rahab's heart before the spies even got there. And it's her own testimony that tells us about it, and we'll look at it here in just a moment. This woman had already been touched by the Spirit of God. This woman had already been touched by the power of God. And God was in the process of changing the life of Rahab. You see, when God comes into our life, when God comes into your life, when God comes into my life, it is only natural that things begin to change. Salvation is instantaneous. Sanctification is a work in progress. But things will begin to change. We see that in Rahab's life here. In Rahab, I see the power of God to transform the lives of those who come to know Him. Just as the Lord changed this woman, He is able to change any life that is brought to Him. Number one, by way of an outline, we see Rahab's condition. Rahab's condition. What was Rahab's condition? Let's look at verse number one. The Bible says that Rahab was, and they went and came into an harlot's house. An harlot's house. Named Rahab, and lodged there. Letter A, we see that Rahab was defiled. She was defiled. By the way, we are all defiled. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Rahab was defiled. Rahab, the harlot, living in a lost pagan city. You and me, it doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter what our lifestyle was before we got saved. It doesn't matter what your lifestyle is today. I want to encourage you with something. While God hates all sin, God loves you. God wants to save you today. It doesn't matter. You say, Pastor Turner, my past is worse. No, it doesn't matter. Your past is nothing that the grace of God cannot overcome. The grace of God can overcome everything. The love of God can overcome everything. Quickly, go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll be right back there in Joshua chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 3. It says there, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That word conversation is speaking about the way that we lived. We had our conversation in times past. In the lust of our what? Flesh. Before we got saved, we lived for the flesh. That's what it says. Then it says, fulfilling the desires of the what? Flesh and of the mind. That's why the battleground is still there today in the mind. And that's why God says over and over His word that we're to let our mind be like, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is before we got saved. By the way, this is you today if you're not saved. If you're not saved, this is your current condition. But notice verse 4. I love how verse 4 starts out. But God. But God. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We were living for the flesh and the mind. We were living as if all we wanted to do was please ourselves. That's why someone who says, I'm a Christian, and just continues to live to please the flesh, you have to wonder if they're truly saved or not. How do we know? Well, the Bible says, by our fruits we'll be known. The Bible says this, that God chastens those whom He loves. God chastens His children. You see, the difference that comes into my life, this verse in verse 3, is all in the past. This is the way we used to live. We don't live this way anymore. Why? Because of verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. For His great what? Loved wherewith He loved us. Oh, Rahab's condition, letter A, she was defiled, just like we were defiled, just like you were defiled before you got saved. The lost person, Ephesians 2, verse 12, I won't read it, but if you keep looking down through there, if you haven't turned back yet, the lost person is in a helpless and hopeless condition. We need help. The lost need help. What do they need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. She was defiled. Letter B, she was dead. She was dead. She was living her life, but spiritually, she was dead. She was dead in her sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 18. You can jot some of these references down. Quickly, though, go with me to Romans chapter number 6. She was dead. By the way, this was our condition as well before we came to Christ. Notice it says in verse 23, for the wages, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Before Rahab turned to Christ, before Rahab confessed what she confessed in this chapter 2 of Joshua, her condition was one of death. She was headed for a crisis eternity, just like we are. She was defiled. But lastly, number 3, she was doomed as well. There was no hope for her. The Bible says it this way in the Gospel according to John, that we are condemned already. Condemned already. No one is born a child of God. No one is born a child of God. We are born a child of our enemy. And so because of that, we're basically walking today. If you're not saved today, if your condition is that you're still defiled, you haven't accepted the robe of righteousness, you haven't asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, then you, like Rahab was, you are defiled, you are dead, and you are doomed to a Christless eternity. Oh, my friends, it doesn't have to stay that way. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in love. And He would love today for you to come to this altar down here in just a few moments. And He would love for you to humbly say, I know I'm not worthy of heaven, but I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know I'm not worthy of heaven, but I know Jesus is the Son of God. He loves me. He's died for me. I'm accepting Him as my personal Savior today. Rahab's condition, there was no hope. Now think about this. Rahab had quite the lifestyle, did she not? She had not only quite the lifestyle, but she had more than likely living in Jericho, a pagan background. Now think about this. Remember that the Israelites wandered how many years, not total, but just the second section of time? 40 years. I want you to think about it. All the what ifs that we think in our life, and there's a lot of what ifs when I even read the Bible. I wonder what if it would have happened like this. But you know what? For Rahab's benefit, it could have been in the last 40 years of this wandering is when Rahab gave her heart to the Lord. What if they would have gone in there without wandering that second 40 years? What if they would have gone in right away? Maybe Rahab would have never got saved. I don't know. It's one of those what ifs. What I'm saying is this: God is long-suffering. Did God allow Israel to wander 40 years for one harlot's family? I don't know. I know God is sovereign. I know God doesn't want you, if you are in a lost condition right now, if you are on your way to a crisis eternity, I know that God has you here today for no other reason than for you to hear this part of the message, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And God moved everything out of your way in your life to put you here on the 19th day of January, 2020, not to hear from a man, but to hear from God that you can be forgiven, that your home, that a home in heaven, it can be reserved for you even today. God moved everything in your... Think about all of the miles that you had to travel to get here today. I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about where you were born. Some of us were born right here in Canada. Some of us were born in North America. Some of us were born all over the world, and yet God brought you here. Right now, for this moment, to hear from this book. Think about it. Some of you came from the Middle East. Some of you came from Asia. Some of you came from Africa. Some of you came from Europe. Some of you came from North or South America, Central America, all over the world. All of us here today, think of the miles combined of how we got here. It would be a mind-blowing number of miles that we all traveled to get here and be in this place, here in this little property, 8585 Armstrong Avenue, and yet in the foreknowledge of a holy, sovereign God, He saw this service today just like it is. And He made a way for you to be here. That visa got stamped 20 years ago. And you're here today. That passport got stamped 3 months ago. And you're here today. That permanent resident status was approved. That immigration hearing went according to whatever God had for it, and you're here today. I'm just saying, sometimes we look at life and we don't really take a step back and say, boy, God really does love me. Boy, God really is merciful. Boy, God really is gracious that He would set all this up and put all of this together, that I would be exposed not only to the heavens declare the glory of God, but that I would be exposed to the written word of God as well. You realize what a privilege it is today to have the written word of God in your hands? Do we really believe that? Do we really grasp that? This is the only book that God has ever written, and it's in my hands right now. Unbelievable. And I have the ability, because of God's Spirit indwelling me, to understand what this book means. I don't understand all of it. I'm still learning. Oh, but all of that came about because I could go on with that, but I don't know that that's... Sometimes we need to just pause and think about, how did I get here? How did I get here? Well, yeah, I got on the bus today and the bus dropped me off right here. No. How did I get here? Well, I got in my car. It started, you know. No, that's what I'm talking about. How did I get here? Trace your life back. And it's, you know what? It's a windy path sometimes, isn't it? Some of you have had the privilege of sitting and hearing about your life. And I'm going to say this from all love and kindness, but some of the testimonies in this room right now have a lot of curves and a lot of detours and a lot of bridge outs and a lot of U-turns and a lot of going the wrong way on a one-way street. You follow me? All of us are sinners saved by grace. I'm not lifting anybody up or putting anybody down. I'm just saying, when you think about how God navigated all of our lives in here today, it's unbelievable. He did it for a harlot named Rahab. That's all I'm trying to get across to us this afternoon. And He'll do it for you today. But you must make the choice. He allows you, get this. He allows you to reject Him. He did not say John's going to heaven and Dan's going to hell. He did not say that. These two men both had a choice. As far as I know, both of their testimonies, they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise God. They're secure in Christ. God did not determine that any of you on this side will go to heaven and some of you on this side won't. God did not do that. I will say this, God knows who's going to reject Him though, because God is all-knowing. You cannot separate the all-knowingness of God from the grace of God. They go together. So while God does not determine, you know, 1, 2, 3, go to hell, 1, 2, 3, go to heaven, He knows in this room who's going to reject Him and who's not. Just, right? That's God. I don't even want to try to figure God out. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to stop proclaiming it. I'm not going to stop preaching it. Why? Because I don't know who it is. And there's people that sit here every Sunday, there's people that sit here and they're like Rahab. Oh, they may not be into prostitution like she was, but they're defiled, they're dead, and they're doomed, just like she was. And that's why the message must continue to be proclaimed. What? He is rich in mercy and His love where He loved us. Her condition. Number two, quickly, in verses 2 to 13, we see Rahab's confession. Rahab's confession. By the time those spies get to Jericho, as I said a moment ago, it is evident, I believe at least, that she had been visited in some way by the Lord. The Lord had spoke to her heart. She had heard about the people. She had heard about what God had done. She said it herself. In other words, I don't know if you caught it or not, but let's take a look at it. Let me get back there. I'm still in Romans. Let's look at it quickly here. Where did I want to have you search? Verse 9. As far as I can tell, these men haven't said anything yet to Rahab. Like, you know, I'm Bill and this is Bob. Thanks for giving us a room. You know, I don't see that. But look what she says. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. In other words, I know who you are. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, verse 9, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've heard what God did in Egypt. Outside of Egypt, pardon me, the Red Sea. We've heard that. I mean, whoever can do that must be God. When you came out of Egypt and what you did under the two kings and so forth and so on. What I'm saying there is looking at that and saying that she knows them before they even had a chance to say who they were. It is quite possible, if you'll notice with me in verse 6, it is quite possible that Rahab's profession had already changed. I'm not saying that dogmatically, but I'm saying that because of the word flax. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. It is possible that the mention of the word flax drying on the roof may indicate that she had already changed her profession. Why do you say that? Because flax was used in the production of linen cloth. I'm not saying that dogmatically. I'm just saying it's possible that her profession had already changed. Verses 9 to 11, we see letter A, what she confessed. Letter A, what she confessed. And we've talked a little about this. She confessed that she knew some things about the Lord. She also said, and we've emphasized this already, so we're just going to read a little bit of this, that she had heard some things about the Lord as well. She knew some things about the Lord because she had heard some things about the Lord. Notice the name that she gives the Lord. She gives him his covenant name. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. She's confessing the fact that Jehovah is the only God that she had seen and heard from the Lord. And by the way, I see here in her speaking to these men that she pointed out a need of a relationship with him. The God of heaven, the God of the earth. What she confessed, letter B, what she claimed, verses 12 and 13. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab claims salvation from the coming judgment on the basis of simple faith. I know what's coming to this city. What was coming? God's judgment. Folks, the Bible is very clear. What's coming? Take your Bible and turn with me to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. Revelation, chapter number 20. I've heard about you. I know some things. I know that God is the Lord. I'm asking you to save our family. I'm asking you, why is she asking them? Because she knows they represent the Lord. She knows what's coming. She knows what happened to those two kings. She knows what their God did. And she said, that's the God I want. That's the one true God. She claimed salvation by faith on what she had heard about God. How do we get saved? By faith. Has anybody ever seen God? No. What do we know about God? How do we know about God? I'll tell you how we know about God. A couple different things. We know about God right here in His Word. I believe the Word of God right here is infallible. It's inerrant. It's preserved. It's for every generation. It's forever settled in heaven. We know there's a God because we see the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. We look at this creation that we have. This didn't just happen. There's a God. God is speaking all the time. What I'm saying is you have to read carefully. Rahab heard about God, and by faith she says to these spies, please save us. Hey, when I heard about God and His Word, that's exactly what I said. God, please save me. I have no hope without you. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless without you. God, I need you to save me from Revelation 20. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is what I was referring to earlier. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What are we saying? We're saying that here is the coming judgment. Here is the coming judgment that we have. Jericho's walls coming down is nothing compared to what's happening here. And yet the same destination of those pagans in Jericho that rejected the one true God. Here's one lady. Here's one woman. Here's one Rahab that said, you know what? I heard about your God. I heard about what he's done. I believe he is the one true God. Please, would you save us? Today we live in a nation, we live in a city, we live in a country that is not everyone, I'm not going to say that, but the mainstream people today are rejecting God, pushing God out. God's saying, look, that's the choice you have. I've given you a free will. And it's sad as God is pushed out and society gets worse and worse and worse as God gets pushed out. This is the end result. Revelation 20, 14 and 15. This is why we print gospel tracts and hand them out so that people will not be here on this day. This is why we support missionaries all over the globe and we send money and we send prayers on their behalf to reach people for the cause of Christ before it's too late. This is why for the last almost 19 years, we have tried to have a Christ-honoring, Bible-preaching, Bible-living church so that people would hear about the love of God and receive that salvation that Rahab was asking for. If you know the story of Rahab, ask by faith and you shall receive. Rahab's condition, Rahab's confession. What she confessed, what she claimed. I must move quickly. Number three, Rahab's conversion. Rahab's conversion. Verses 14 to 24, we did not read them. Letter A, we see that she was involved in new labors. New labors. Rahab proved that she was a new creature, I believe personally, by hiding the spies and helping them escape. She was working for the Lord, not against him. As believers, we're no longer working against Christ and against what God has. We're working for him. Ephesians 2:10, we are created to good works. I believe we see that in the life of Rahab here. New labors. You could look at James 2:18. If you're jotting down a verse, you could jot that down and look at it. But notice here we see not only her new labors, but we see her new love. When Rahab comes to know the Lord, she wanted others to know too. Notice she doesn't just say, just me. Someone that really is, to me, and I'm not going to say all lost people are selfish, but someone that hasn't been changed by the Lord, when the coming judgment is about to happen, when the walls of Jericho are about to come down, I think probably if someone hasn't really known the Lord, hasn't been regenerated by the Lord, they're going to be concerned about one person and one person only. Now, sure, or hopefully we'd be concerned about our family too. But I think we see it goes a little bit further as Rahab says in verse 13, would you save me? Would you save my dad? Would you save my mom? Would you save my brothers? Would you save my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives? In other words, here's someone that is an indication of a work of God has done in her life that now she's saying, okay, I'm concerned about others now. I just don't want my skin being saved. I'm concerned about my dad, my mom, my brother, my sister. I'm concerned about all the people that are under. I'm concerned about family. I'm concerned about people. Could they be saved too? Think about it. Why did God save you? Why did God save me? God did not save us simply to save only us. Yes, praise God, we're saved. But he saved us because there's people that we know. There's people that we live by. There's people that are related to us by blood that are not maybe saved. They're not on their way to heaven. And they are our responsibility that we warn them, that we pray for them, that we continue never giving up on them. Rahab says, hey, what about my family? Can they be saved too? I believe we see that her life has changed. And that's letter C. I think we see her new life. Her new life. When Rahab comes under the umbrella of the nation of Israel, everything in her life is transformed. The walls of Jericho fall, and Rahab is spared, by the way. She received a brand new life. Go with me quickly to chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. There's a lot that happens leading to this point. Please read it. We don't have time to read it today. Chapter number 6. Verse 12, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. The second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And many of you know about this. 1 time around for 6 days, and then 7 times around on the seventh day. All they're doing is marching. They're not shooting anything. They're not doing anything, just marching. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpet, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only, what's the next word? Rahab. Isn't it amazing that she's labeled the harlot here again, as well in Hebrews? Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of another time of destruction. Way back in the book of Genesis. When Noah built that ark, all those years building that ark, everybody that got on the ark was saved. Noah, Mrs. Noah, his 3 sons, their wives, 8 people. That's it. 8 people. You get on the ark, God gave those people so much time to get on the ark. But only 8 people got on the ark. I see that same thing here. Because anybody that was at Rahab's house, according to this, anybody that was at Rahab's house, verse 17, They'll live. Because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Let's skip down here. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted with shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. People shouted with a great shout. The wall fell down flat. Those walls that we talked about earlier that were yea thick and yea tall, they just fell down. And again, I believe the Bible to be true, but archaeology has even confirmed this. I don't need archaeology, by the way, to confirm this. Okay? But it has. The ruins of Jericho have been found. You can look it up if you'd like. But I'll take God at his word. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Okay, let's go to verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab. Now think about this. The walls all went what? Flat. Where was Rahab's house? It was in the wall. I mean, God is pretty powerful, isn't he? That every wall all around, except where Rahab's house was, went flat. God is powerful. The Bible says in verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Not only that, she's in the Hall of Faith. Not only that, it even gets better in just a minute. I'm trying to get through this. She dwelleth in Israel even to this day because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You see, what made the difference in Rahab's life? Well, look at verse 18. Actually, I'm going back to Joshua 2:18. It says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou did let us down by." The line of scarlet thread made the difference. If you don't have this line of scarlet thread out the window, then our vow is off. You see, this line of scarlet thread, as most of us know here today, and maybe not, maybe you're learning this and praise God for it, this line of scarlet thread is a beautiful picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that would appease the wrath of God once and for all. Romans 5, verse 9, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Read about the blood that was shed and put over the doorpost in Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read something to you as we bring the message to a close. Don't miss this. Again, in other words, when we read the Bible, we need to read it for its time, when it was written, who it's written to. It wasn't written in English. It wasn't written to me necessarily right here in this time. Now, it's written to me. It's all written to me. I'm saying when it was written. Why a scarlet cord as opposed to a green or yellow one? We know that with what we've just said about the blood of Jesus Christ. But how about this? The word for the color scarlet and how the color is made paint have an interesting picture. How do we get this color? It comes from the Hebrew word shawne, S-H-A-W-N-E, shawne. Translated as scarlet or crimson, which is the color of blood. The dye color is made from the dyed body of the Coccus illiscus worm. I found this to be the case, and I've quoted this, and I want to read this quickly. When the female of the scarlet worm, and hopefully you're not hungry, when the female of the scarlet worm species was ready to give birth to her young, she would attach her body to the trunk of a tree. Don't miss this. The trunk of a tree, fixing herself so firmly and permanently that she would never leave again. The eggs deposited beneath her body were thus protected until the larvae were hatched and able to enter their own life cycle. As the mother died, the crimson fluid stained her body and the surrounding wood. From the dead bodies of such female scarlet worms, the commercial scarlet dyes of antiquity were extracted. What picture this gives us of Christ dying on the tree, shedding his precious blood that he might bring many sons unto glory. He died for us that we might live through him. Found in the Henry Morris Biblical Basis for Modern Science. You see, just that crimson cord, I mean, praise God for the crimson cord, but what does it really mean? There's a whole lot more to it than just the crimson cord. Now, I close the third time with this. You know Rahab's family? Well, she got put in quite the family line, by the way. For your own study, you can read Matthew chapter 1, and you're going to find out that you're going to find Rahab in a pretty prominent lineage, the lineage of our Savior. You see, God can take what we think is invaluable, and through His love and mercy, make it valuable. Rahab's redemption.